welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is Veronica Monet. It's Saturday. My guest today is Francisco. He's calling us from Miami, Florida. And he's a college student. He's been on our show before. Today, he has selected the topic of gender stereotypes. And in particular, he's frustrated with the attitude some women have about men. Assumptions that they make about what men want when they go out with a woman. Men all want the same thing, that sort of thing. So we're going to explore that a little bit, and as a lot of you know, if you've read my stuff and been to any of my lectures and workshops, you know I've got a very positive attitude towards men. The first five chapters of my book, The Sex Secrets of an Escort, is very, very male positive and talks a lot about what I learned about male cultures and hoping, you know, that women can get a little curious about male culture and bridge some of that gap. But I think I'm probably going to play a little devil's advocate today just to make this conversation a little more interesting. So Francisco, welcome to the show, yes. And feel free to go ahead and kick it off with your rant about these gender stereotypes that are driving you batty.
Yeah, I just feel that being a young guy, being a college student, there's this huge stigma against young men that, especially from the woman's perspective, that we're just blindly sexually active, looking just to exploit women as objects and just to utilize them for sex and kind of hop around from girl to girl to girl at every chance that we get. And it seems like when I generally want to actually have a relationship with someone that I'm confronted with this stereotype, and I have to essentially prove myself time in and time again, almost ritualistically, to trying to get back to this even part. It seems like every kind of engaged in relationships, I am already kind of knocked down a couple notches as far as trust, being able to be to trust or even as a person before I can get anywhere with this woman. So it really kind of stems off a personal situation I had with a woman, with a girl that she felt I had lied to her when it was kind of a long story, but in short, she felt that I was only going to use her for sex. Guess some other guy, even through jealousy, kind of slandering the situation and said that I had only wanted to go with her because of sex, which wasn't the case at all. But she felt that she...
Francisco, let me ask you something. Were you even interested in sex with her at all?
Yes, I'm not going to lie. Of course I wanted to have sex with her. She was a very beautiful girl, and I wanted to have a relationship with her. But that wasn't the sole purpose of me having a relationship with her. I mean, I generally liked her as a person. Yeah?
You liked her as a person. When you say you wanted to have a relationship with her, what does that mean to you?
What does that mean to me? I guess just doing the whole courting kind of process, just starting to date, get to know with each other, enjoy time with each other, and then slowly probably work into a sexual relationship and then generally enjoy life with each other. I mean, that's how I perceive just a kind of or want of a relationship in my life. Nothing, I'm looking for a hard, strenuous kind of relationship. I'm looking to having for eternity, but I'm just simply trying to enjoy life at this time and looking for a relationship around those lines.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a couple of hard questions here, though, okay?
Okay.
So when you say move into a sexual relationship, how long do you see that relationship lasting?
With her or in general?
With her.
Well, with her, after that kind of situation, she kind of withheld the information that this guy had told her this and simply told me, oh, I just want to be friends with you. And I said, that's fine. I mean, I generally liked her as a person. I didn't mind going down that route. And then she kind of just turned a 180 on me. And I was kind of left in bewilderment. It's like, what happened? I guess she really just didn't generally want to be friends, and she just wanted me kind of asking me to leave her alone. But later on, about 2 months later, of awkward situations
excuse,
of her
excuse
kind of...
Excuse me. You didn't answer my question.
How long
did you plan on having a sexual relationship with this woman if she had been interested in having a sexual relationship with you?
To be honest, I didn't specifically put a timetable, but I plan to leave Miami in the year and a half or so. So I guess up until I foresaw until that, at least at that point. Beyond that, I would kind of seem kind of not realistic is pursuing a long term relationship after that because I barely got to know her. So at least preparing for that time.
Were you planning on being exclusive with her, or were you planning on dating other women as well?
I was planning to be exclusive with her. I mean, I don't think she was the quite open-minded girl that looking to explore polyamory kind of lifestyle. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not a person that's ever been very sexually charged. If I'm with someone, I need to have somebody else. I mean, I've always, once I kind of, I'm into a relationship, I'm generally happy with that relationship until whatever reason we pair up. I've never been someone that's kind of always hounding out and around and need a different partner. I'm always usually generally content with having a one partner at the time, at least, and showing that commitment, at least the sense of actually being respectful as an individual. Like, I wouldn't want someone, just a distrust factor of sneaking around having sex with someone else. So I guess I would want to portray what I want, I guess, in that situation.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you were expecting to be fairly involved with her. What do you think caused her to think that you were just after sex?
Well, this is the thing. This kind of stemming from a long long situation. But when I had taken out on her first date, I walked her to her dorm, and when I was walking away, this is when some random guy kind of bumped into me. And he's like, "Oh, did you hit that? Did you hit that?" I'm like, no. I mean, I was just taking on a first date. I was just hoping just for a kiss, if anything. And he was the one actually was best friends with her, used to like her, and ended up telling her that I was just trying to hit that. And it kind of fell apart from then. She told me that she just wanted to be friends, and she had just gone out of a long relationship and kind of telling me she wasn't ready for going into something else. And initially when she told me that from the very beginning.
I'm going to ask you to take a breath. Take a breath.
Okay.
Stop for a minute.
All right.
Let's do one thing at a time because, you know, all these things have a tendency to kind of like ball up on top of each other, you know?
Sorry about that.
Well, no, don't be sorry. This is what I help people do is, you know, let's break it down. Let's not just throw all that stuff in there in one long, uninterrupted breath. Okay. So she overheard this guy saying, "Did you hit that?" Did I understand that correctly?
She actually later on, in a different time, she had bumped into him. She was just a genuine, just a friend with him.
Uh-huh.
He used to like her. And seeing me walk away from her, going on a date, I think kind of upset him. And he began to say this to her. Say that I was looking just to have sex with her and was being persistent to her about this. She confronted me and asked me what I had said to him that particular night. And I said exactly what I said. It's like, oh, I told him that it was our first day. I was just looking to get a kiss. But she perceived that I was lying to her. And she kind of kept that to herself and let it bother her until then she just basically kind of fell apart. The bond that we had kind of fell apart, and I was kind of left in bewilderment until later on. About 2 weeks ago, she confronted me and said, "Oh, this is why I've been mad with you this whole time because you lied to me and he said this." And I wanted to bring up the whole situation.
Take another breath. I want you to slow down a little bit. Okay.
All right.
So when a woman hears some gossip about her from another guy about a guy, and do you have any idea what kind of emotions go on for the woman?
Right. I mean, when she when she initially told me what had happened, from her perspective, I generally kind of understood why she would have doubts and suspicion and questioning, and even to a certain extent, even maybe like almost throwing her hands up in the air, like, oh, he's just another one of these guys kind of reaction. I mean, so when she confronted me about...
So you're wrong.
Okay.
Okay. That's why I want to slow you down here.
All right.
It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every guy who encounters this with a woman will think that it's up to him to prove himself. What do I have to do to prove myself to you? How can I prove to you that I'm not one of those
mm-hmm.
guys?
Yeah.
Okay? Every guy feels that way. Any guy who, even guys who are just after sex feel that way, because usually they don't want to see themselves as just after sex, and it makes them feel
correct.
Like they're being cast as the shallow, evil villain. And the
mm-hmm.
most shallow, evil guy doesn't want to see himself that way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So every single woman out there has encountered a million guys, okay, maybe not a million, but anyway, at least a dozen
mm-hmm.
guys, who are all very defensive about how I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing you need to know. The first thing you need to know is she's heard it all before about how
right.
honorable the guy's intentions are, how that's not what he's about, how he really wants to get to know her, how he would never
right.
hurt her, blah, blah, blah. It's an
right.
old, old rant. And if that's your rant, then you just sound like all the rest of the guys.
Right.
And
so
if you're, and then number two,
okay.
if your focus is on proving that you're not one of those guys and you're getting your feelings
mm-hmm.
hurt, then
mm-hmm.
you're not getting what's going on for her.
Okay.
So number three, if you want to be able to navigate these waters successfully with women, I would recommend, as a first step, stop making it about you. Start thinking about what's really going on with her. And what she's really telling you about is that what it's like to be a woman in this world. How she lives in constant fear of losing her reputation or somehow or another being at odds with the Whore-Madonna complex. Now, she probably doesn't even know what the Whore-Madonna complex is and wouldn't know what the words mean if she heard them.
Mm-hmm.
But she does know what it means if somebody calls her a whore or a slut. Because somebody
right.
has called her a whore or a slut already before you
mm-hmm.
ever met her.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did. Her daddy did when she went out on her first date, or her boyfriend did when she broke up with him, or
mm-hmm.
the guys in the car that were following her along the street did when she refused to turn around and smile at them when they honked and whistled.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in her life, somebody has called her a whore or a slut or both. And so that becomes a defining element in her dating life. And that's what she's really trying to tell you about. And if you get all caught up in, I'm not one of those guys and this isn't fair, then you don't have any idea what you're dealing with. And it precludes you from having any empathy for what's going on with her. And just as I try to encourage women to get acquainted with males, you know, culture so that we can have some compassion for each other. I encourage men to do the same thing with women. This is
mm-hmm.
maybe the biggest topic in any single woman's life is what's going to happen to me if people think I'm a whore or a slut.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that, then, you know, you standing there protesting about what a great guy you are and what great, you know, intentions you had is... It's very little comfort for her because what's really driving all of this anxiety for her is something you can't even fix. You can't miraculously make this a world that embraces women regardless of what they do sexually.
Mm-hmm. So what do I do instead of sounding like a broken record? You mean, is there
The one thing you could say is, wow, I hear you're worried. I hear you're afraid. That's got to really suck. You know, do you want to tell me more about that? Or is there anything I could do that would make you feel safer? Or, you know, and if she's like, make, if she wants to make it personal and give you a bunch of hoops to jump through, well, it's up to you whether or not you want to play that game. But one of the things, you know, the two things you could do is depersonalize it and jump into the empathetic role.
Okay.
So, you know, instead of getting defensive and trying to defend your honor and prove yourself to her, showing some concern for what it must be like to be a woman in this world. Yeah, it must be rough, man. I mean, if you feel like people, guys especially, are talking behind your back, that must, you know, that must really suck.
Right.
I can only imagine, you know. I've never had guys talk behind my back, and if girls talk behind my back, I feel like, you know, that makes me kind of a stud. But I could totally get that, you know, from your perspective, this is, you know, you may want to say the word scary. It depends. If she's a tough girl, she's not going to want to admit that she's afraid of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So finding a way to invite her to share her feelings if she wants to talk about it more.
Mm-hmm.
And then asking her, you know, just asking her, wow, you know, I think you're really cool. I'd like to spend some time with you. Is there something I could do or not do, maybe something I could start doing, something I could stop doing, that would make you feel safer? Because you know what? I want you to feel safe. I want you to feel completely respected, honored, and totally safe. What can I do to create that for you?
And when she first initially confronted me, I think at first I was kind of caught off guard in bewilderment, and I was kind of initially kind of taking the defensive role and being like, I didn't say whatever I could to try to show you that my trust. But I think I took a step back away from that. I really did try to show her, try to put myself in her shoes and explain it that way. It's like, I understand from your perspective, it really is hard, and especially being in the city in where I am in Miami. It's, we don't have any short of men being extremely aggressive and actually really doing this to women. When we were going out, she had a situation where she did confide in me that really kind of traumatized her a little bit. Was about 4 or 5 months earlier, she was still dating her boyfriend, but she had gone out with a couple of mutual friends, one in particular that I know, and she had gotten drunk and she actually had sex with this one guy. And she felt like she had been objectified, and kind of she carried so much shame in what had happened, and she was confessing to me that that this situation was had really hurt her. She realized that women can't just simply have sex with, like, for nothing like that, because it makes them feel objectified and hurts her. It really put into perspective for me that how, like, hurt she was from previous situations in her life. And when she did confront me for what had happened, why she was being upset, and I kind of took a step back and being empathetic with her. And I'm like, look, I want to secure this trust with you. I mean, I just simply just want to be a fictitious relationship at arm's reach. I mean, I know it's gonna take a long time, and it's gonna be a long process. You mean, but like, I'm willing to be friends with you if you're willing to take that step in trying to trust me. And we really did end on a good note. I mean, right now we've been mutually friends, talking back and forth. I think it's slowly kind of getting back to what we had a little bit before, but. I think there is still so much fear that she has, and that's kind of holding her back. And I think she may not even want to take that step again in trying to secure a relationship, because she still has a lot of that self-internalized fear and anxiety for men in general.
Yeah, well, and this is, you know, this is one of the things that perpetuates the whole gender wars thing, because, you know, women are seeing men as the enemy, and men are seeing women as the enemy, and everybody's very suspicious and guarded around each other. And there's a lot of miscommunication, and a lot of it really is just because we have never spent even, you know, 10 seconds, let alone 10 days in each other's shoes.
Right.
So, you know, for myself, since I'm bisexual, I actually have gotten to experience a tiny bit of what it means to be on the other side of the fence. You know, like, I know what it means to have to get the courage up to ask a woman out, and I know what it's like to get shot down and rejected by women. and I know what it's like, you know, to finally meet a woman who wants to have uncomplicated sex and doesn't attach all this meaning and drama to it. And in that sense, I can understand and relate a lot to what men go through. But, you know, I don't have the slightest idea what it means to be walking down the street and get to that corner where the bullies, you know, hang out and get beat up every day coming home from school. I don't know what it's like to worry about a draft, you know, forcing me to go kill people for a living or maybe get killed. And, you know, so far they've never had a draft for women, even though we have an awful lot of women who are coming home from serving in Iraq now. And, you know, so things are changing between the genders, and we're even seeing now where women are starting to reverse the roles. Now, a little younger than you, because now you're in your late 20s, right?
I'm 24 right now. So I'm
24. Now you're still early 20s. You're still early 20s. Well, there is a trend. It may not have hit Miami yet, Francisco, but there is a trend in some parts of the United States where the girls who are perhaps 18 to 20, so we're talking fairly young, are starting to engage in sex just for the sake of sex, and they send the boys home right afterwards. They're like, hey, I got to get up in the morning. Would you leave? And the guys are like, but I thought we could cuddle or sleep together or hang out, or don't you want to be my girlfriend? And the girls are like, hey, this is just a hookup. I don't need a boyfriend. Get lost.
Yeah.
So there's a shift.
I don't think that trend quite hit Miami yet. Or my age bracket at least.
Are you wishing that it would?
Hey, I guess, you know, it's funny because I actually read it as kind of a separate article speaking somewhat about a little bit different kind of situation, but similar, that I think the age between like 24 to in the early 30s is kind of like the most sexually deprived generation because of the fear from AIDS, especially in the early, the late 80s and the sexually transmitted diseases, that the generation afterwards was kind of more of the free baby boomers, free sex, kind of free loving kind of mentality. In the earlier generations, like that, or what you're kind of mentioning, is more sexually active. So, like, the 20s and 30s are kind of like the vacant of a lot of sexual anxiety when it comes to the sexually transmitted disease that kind of spread this conservatism. So it's interesting how certain social movements can really promote conservatism more. More kind of free loving kind of mentality, just through a series of just completely just social events. I mean,
well, yeah, but overall, I think that we're going to be seeing some big shifts in gender. We already are. I mean, you know, we almost voted a woman into the president's office. That would have been a huge shift for the United States.
Right.
We are getting more and more women in politics, more and more women in, you know, as heads of corporations. So,
and that's a great thing too, because
just
because of how I think what it goes relates back to your bonobos and why you represent that is because the female unity and the female status tying up in society creates a lot more sexually active society, and also less militant, less aggressive, and it's a lot more of a peaceful environment. So I think it's not a direct association, but I mean, it's a direct correlation, but it has a strong association. As a society promotes the status of women higher in their society, these are kind of social byproducts. I mean,
they are, but I think it's a positive thing. The pendulum swinging this other way, where the young girls now are starting to act like the boys used to act, and the boys are starting to feel, you know, rejected and like a piece of meat like the girls used to feel.
It is
an evening out. It's going to give the genders an opportunity to trade places for a little bit and kind of see what the other side's like. And hopefully this will build some kind of empathy and compassion. And, you know, my hope would be that eventually the pendulum's going to stop swinging to these extremes and things will level out, and maybe we can just treat each other like human beings instead of having these stereotypes.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the transition it's uncomfortable. It's painful for a lot of people. There's a lot of guys out there right now who are, you know, not they're not having sex at all. They're not dating at all. They don't even, you know, they kind of feel useless. They don't really know how to connect with women. A lot of women are not really interested in dating. So this is a painful and an uncomfortable transition that the human race is going through right now.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a learning curve, not just simply swinging back and forth and perpetuating more of this this gender battle you're representing. Like, it's interesting how if there's a victory in women's battles right now, I mean, in gender battles right now, I think specifically Miami women are winning because, men are being out there and trying to utilize and try to kind of promote more, just go out there and get sex. But women are usually just exploiting this, this ambition that men are willing to do whatever and give whatever and, simply exploiting women, not particularly just for sex, but for money and resources and different things. I mean, and I have one ex-girlfriend in particular. I was just recently talking to her, and it's just amazing how low her shallowness has gotten. And just blatantly, I just want to marry somebody that can get me the money. I don't think that's the norm at all, but it's just the idea that's kind of perpetuating a lot that. Since men have been exploiting us for so long, we're looking just to come back and just abuse their sex drive for our own means. And it just seems like I'm having to just carry this strong stereotype because I think the gender battles, in particularly Miami, are extremely bad. They see each other as just, oh, you're just going to use me, so I'm just going to use you. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, and I'm sorry to hear that you're having that experience. It's still been my experience that whether people have only known each other for 5 minutes or they've known each other for 50 years, going back to communication, which focuses on feelings, is usually more successful in creating connection. And sometimes we have to make that first move and be the one that says, you know, what can I do to make you feel safe? Or you know, to not react and to say, I hear you. You know, like if somebody says, you know, whatever she said, well, I think you're just after sex. Sometimes just playing that back and saying, I hear you think I'm just after sex, and I'm going to guess that, you know, I'm not sure how that makes you feel. I would love to know how it makes you feel. Does it scare you? You see?
No,
I am modeling what you could have said to her.
Oh, yeah.
See, she comes to you and says, I think this is what you're about, and I think this is what you're trying to do.
That's essentially what she had confronted me with, and I tried.
And a response which can create more connection would be, I hear you think that I am going to do blah 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 blah, and I wonder how that makes you feel. It sounds like maybe you feel afraid or angry. Would you like to tell me how you feel?
Yeah, and I did that, and she felt. She told me that she just didn't want a relationship right now. That she was okay with it. She didn't bother anymore.
Let's go back. At the moment where she says, "I think that you're just after sex," were those her words, or did she say something else?
She didn't say it directly like that, but that's how she felt. That's exactly how she felt after. She had received this information from this other guy, and then her perception that I had lied to her.
So what was your response? What did you say to her?
My response was that through my actions and my talks and my speaking to you, I've tried to show you as much as I possibly can that
stop there. And
yeah,
I want you to look at that. That's defensive.
Yeah.
So if you want to create connection with somebody who's afraid, the best thing to do is to not go into a defense of your behavior. I think I've shown you this. I think I've done that. That's about you. And I know that that's a normal response. That's an average response. But you aren't looking for normal, average outcomes, are you?
No. I mean, and then I think initially that's what my initial reaction was, to kind of be defensive. But, I mean, towards the end of the conversation, I really tried to put myself in her shoes, that I understood that she felt this way. Mm-hmm. Because of the past anxieties and the situations she had been through, just the tough relationship she had got out of, and also that other situation with being used from that guy. And I understood that it was just natural for her to do that. But the next time to speak with me and talk with me is that through the emotion that she's going through, not just to simply close me off, Amy, and so we can build that.
But you're going to get very limited results with this, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
Okay, because it's still about you. Well, I can understand why you felt that way, but you know you should have done this. Next time, I'd really prefer it if you did that.
Right.
Well, that's great. You know what? I don't really feel heard, or, you know, I get it. I guess you got a long list of things you'd like me to do for you. See you later.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to switch that around and you want her to be coming back on, hey, Francisco, you know, last time I talked to you, I felt so much better after talking to you. It made me want to talk to you again.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so changing your communication style could go a long way to encouraging the women in your life to want to come back and communicate with you more.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you're looking for, is, you know, you want more intimate conversations and more intimate connection, then I would encourage you to spend more time mirroring her feelings and asking her what it is she wants and she needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, What I'm really trying to do here is encourage you to adopt a more feminine communication style. And really, this communication style comes out of a therapeutic model. So it's not really the way most people talk. I mean, all you got to do is turn on TV and listen to the way people talk during debates or reality TV shows. And it's mostly people just assault each other with their words. It's a very violent culture that we live in. And most people, when they hear this type of communication, think it sounds pretty artificial and stilted, and I understand that. However, we live in a very violent culture, so if we want to keep talking the way most people talk, then that's probably not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
If you want her to find speaking to you a positive experience, if you talk to her a little more like her girlfriends talk to her, as in,
mm-hmm.
oh, wow, I totally get why you feel that way, you know, be supportive, but also invite her to share her feelings. Ask her questions. You ever noticed that a lot of times when a man and a woman go out, the woman sits there and nods her head a lot and goes, oh, wow, how'd that make you feel? Oh, that must have been horrible. Oh. And the guy goes on and on about, you know, this adventure and this misadventure and this thing that happened. Usually the guy is showing off a little bit. He's trying to prove that he's this exciting man about town. And she's doing what she's been trained to do, which is to nod her head and smile and listen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pull men and women and ask them who their best friend is, the person that they want to talk about their problems with,
mm-hmm.
both men and women will tell the person who's taking the poll that their best friend is a woman. So part of the cross-fertilization that men and women need to do with each other is men need to start learning a little bit about communicating in a more feminine style.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if men ever want to make that best friend list, they're going to have to learn how to stop making themselves the center of the conversation and start start being more empathetic, you know, and playing back to the girl, oh, you know, I get how you feel, and I understand that you did some of that, but
it's not enough, probably.
Well, your sense of the conversation is that maybe sort of kind of you guys are getting back to where you were, but you're not sure. So
right,
so
I think she just still has doubts, and even though we kind of ended on a good note, I think it was positive, and I think it was, since then we have talked more, but nothing really at all intimate. Or and then essentially the end of the conversation initially was that she just simply just didn't want to go into another relationship at the moment.
Well, that's
but
that's just what we say when we don't feel safe, by the way.
I'm sorry?
That's what women say when we don't feel safe.
Right. So it's
I don't want to get involved. I'm leaving for a trip. I got to go to school. I got to wash my hair. I got to do something. Bye.
Yeah.
The female communication pattern is usually non-confrontive. It's
right.
an avoidance pattern.
Right.
That's why girls will give you phony phone numbers in clubs. Rather than just say, fuck off. A girl doesn't say, fuck off, I'm not giving you my phone number. Instead, she dutifully
right.
writes out a fake phone number.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to understand the women, you have to be able to move past your frustration about their behavior and start understanding it. See, a lot of women don't understand men because they find it frustrating that men are the way they are, but they don't understand why they're the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Both genders, both men and women, are operating from fear.
Mm-hmm. So given the situation I am in now, what would be probably the best action for me to kind of step forward and try to start building that trust again? Cause now it's somewhat mutual. I think she's happy. I think right now she's kind of happy just keeping this relationship. It is now just non-invasive, kind of hands distance, and keeping it that way just for comfortability. So she, like you were saying, because she has this so much internalized fear and willing to just avoid ever trying to put herself out there. So how would be the best way to really kind of start building that trust?
Well, the stories that she's told you about, right?
Mm-hmm.
She told you about getting hurt emotionally and the guy had been talking about having sex with her. Is that what happened?
I believe it became everybody had found out what
everybody
had happened.
Found out.
I don't think in specifically he was kind of ranting and raving what had happened, but it was kind of like I think people had assumed that had happened. What made her feel even worse.
Okay. So this was her basically telling you one of her deepest, darkest secrets.
Right.
And how you handle that has a lot to do with how much trust she's going to have. I mean, she's basically showing you her underbelly. She might as well have rolled over on her back and showed you her genitals if she was a dog. Okay, get it?
Yeah,
so it's really vulnerable territory for a woman to admit to somebody that she had sex with somebody and they talked about it and everybody found out about it. It's hugely humiliating. This would be like a guy admitting that he got beat up in a fight and that he lost the fight.
And that's why it's so frustrating, because out of something that was out of my hands, the whole situation kind of fell apart.
It wasn't out of your hands. That's it. I want to hand you your power back here, Francisco. It wasn't out of your hands. Because when she came to you with the new situation, the way you handled it was to become defensive and try to defend yourself and prove yourself. And that's a real masculine behavior. That's the get the sword, get the shield, and go fight the dragon. And sometimes that can really impress a woman, but when a woman is feeling afraid of being called a slut or a whore, She's not looking for you to go slay a dragon.
Right.
Okay, she's looking for you to create safety for her. What she needs is for you to distinguish yourself from all the other men she knows.
Right.
And you did not do that. What you did was prove to her that you're like all the other guys. And because I guarantee you, every man she's ever brought this story to, they've all told her they'd never do it to her, including the one who did.
Right.
So even if you're the only one that means it and all the rest of them are lying, you got to change that routine because it's not going to play in Peoria. So anyway, your question was, what do you do now? Well, first and foremost, you go back and try to muster more empathy for what the level of vulnerability this woman was sharing with you and the trauma associated with this event that she told you about. That's number one, because you need to get that all the way down to the tips of your toes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the only way you're going to be able to really comprehend it is to brush up a little bit on women's history and realize that for 300 years, women were burned at the stake and murdered for stepping out of line.
All right.
And that prostitutes were put in Auschwitz. Did you know that? Women who deviated from the sexual norm were actually put in concentration camps.
Yeah.
And right now, today, in the United States of America, if somebody wants to accuse you of being promiscuous, you can lose your children. If they want to accuse you of being a prostitute, you can get evicted from your home. If they want to accuse you of, there was a woman who, she was mayor in Oregon. She was the mayor of this little town in Oregon. And there was a picture of her on MySpace where she was showing her belly button ring. And so she got drummed out of her public office.
Wow.
I ended up blogging about that because Arnold Schwarzenegger was half naked wearing nothing but a loincloth in a lot of his movies. And what's the name of the, I can't remember his name all of a sudden, but the pro wrestler who became governor of Minnesota.
I can't remember his name either.
Yeah, he ran for office with a poster where he was wearing nothing but a pair of shorts. So
right.
The double standard is alive and well in the United States of America. And in some countries, women are getting beheaded and stoned to death, you know, for little infractions like showing their ankles. So if you were living on a planet where that was happening to men for being sexual in any way, shape, or form,
mm-hmm.
your feelings about being a man on planet Earth would be a lot different than they are.
Right.
So number one, if she doesn't see that you connect with her plight, with the emotional gravity that it deserves,
mm-hmm.
then being a very intuitive creature, and I don't think women are any more intuitive than men by birth, but we are more intuitive than men by culture because we cultivate it. If you get very intuitive, you're going to say, you don't get it, you don't get it. So that right there makes you unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, cultivate a true understanding of just how horrific this really is for women. And how horrific it was for her. I mean, she brought you this story. That's all you need to know about this relationship. This is a big deal to this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her worst fear seems to have come true. She's like the little turtle that started to poke its little head out of its shell after taking a big fall, right? And she just starts to poke her head out of the shell, and boom, there it is again.
Right, and it was frustrating for me because I really, initially, we had really kind of gone over this a lot because she had just gotten out of a relationship, and initially she had, we had gone out on a date, and after we had kissed, when I was driving her home, she kind of freaked out a little bit, and I said, well, you know, I really can't be in a relationship right now, I just came out of this relationship, and I think it was just stemming from this fear, I mean, fear that she's going to get hurt again. And I tried to comfort her, I think we just take it one step at a time. I understand where you're coming from. There's no rush to really get into this. And as we slowly kind of started building that trust, and later on, that's when she kind of confronted me with this. And I think we really were making making progress on that with that. But essentially, this guy kind of came out with this, and then I was kind of blindsided. And I guess I really didn't I didn't go about it the right way. I think when she was being awkward with me, I think even then I should have asked her what was going on and being empathetic then. I think that would have turned a better outcome. Amy,
well, you
and
know,
when she did.
I'd like to reframe that for you, if I may. And I would never say should, because that's just shitting all over yourself, you know.
Okay.
So don't should all over yourself. Actually, I'm sure that the way she approached you was in ill form, and I'm sure she could have done it better than she did it. But we're
right.
talking about you trying to up your success ratio here, and she's
right.
not the one who's asking for help. So should I would dispense with that. I'd say, you know what, you reacted in a normal way, and most of us would have felt defensive and falsely accused, and I totally understand that. However, just like anything, you know, if you want to learn how to fix an engine, or you want to learn how to train a dog, or, you know, you want to learn how to speak a different language, you just got to learn how it works. You can't worry about what's fair. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's fair that you should have to be so attentive to her feelings when she's stomping all over yours. But
yeah.
I'm not interested in fairness. I'm just interested in helping you find a success strategy, a set of behaviors that will get for you the kind of results that you're looking for. And in your particular case, you know, you've had something of a long-running lament that you're having a disconnect with women that you really want to be intimate with. So I think you will be happier with the results if you put a little more time into delving into the empathetic side of yourself and stay away from the part of you that feels defensive and reactive around, you know, I'm a good guy, why can't you see it?
Yeah. I don't even think it goes that far. I think it's, me, when I do confront a woman, I'm starting to talk with them, and I get that sense that, I have to go through this whole ritualist kind of thinking of trying to prove myself and build that trust. I'm being like, for some reason, I myself lose interest because it feels like they don't really give a crap about me, that they're just seeing me as objectifying me. So, I mean, I've kind of gone the easy route, avoidance route, is when I sense a woman doesn't trust me at all. It's like, why should I even stick my head out or put my feelings on the line and promote myself if I have to go through this whole entire process, which is, that's just simply out of stereotype. I mean, I think it's been the easy way out for me. I mean, kind of, and I've been kind of internalizing it. I mean, just being, going through of avoidance rather than kind of not confrontational, but being more proactively, engaging it and being, approaching it in a different kind of manner.
Well, by the way, I just want to let our listeners know that, We're winding up here. We don't even have that many more minutes left to this show. But I tune into Facebook. Every time I do my show, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Got a couple of 15 minutes left. Thanks, Don. We've got a couple of comments from Facebook right now. We got Tina Johansson. She says, listen to this amazing woman. She knows what she's talking about. Thanks, Tina. And then we've got Tamara Ching on Facebook. She says, men, I love them. Guess I'm bisexual because I love men and boys. Love you, Veronica. So that's a couple of the comments that we've got on Facebook right now. If anybody else out there wants to Twitter, I'm over at twitter.com/Veronica Monet. That's Veronica Monet, M-O-N-E-T. Or you can find me on Facebook, Veronica Monet on Facebook. And send your comments. Of course, you can also call us toll-free. We still have about 10 minutes left of the show. The toll-free number is 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. So much for our little station break there. Francisco, What do you think you're going to do with this young lady? Are you going to try to pull her in a little closer to you?
I want to. You mean, I think I've been a little hesitant, fearing that it's a similar situation is going to happen. But I think after a conversation, I think I want to take her out one of these days and listen to her feelings. You mean, I think it seems like I don't want to kind of go back to what had happened, because it seems like we've moved past that. But I think I want to, take more of the role, I mean, the more of the strategy you're saying is basically listen to her feelings. And I'm just going to kind of go try to do that. It's like, you know what, how are you feeling throughout this whole entire, through this whole entire situation? I mean, I want to hear most of that, and just kind of take more of a listening stance, and hopefully that kind of starts building that trust. And I want to try to move into a relationship, because I think we really did have a connection, but this kind of really put a like 3 steps back, and hopefully I can kind of rekindle that. And then she doesn't seemingly since completely just cut me off.
You're starting to cut out on your cell phone there, Francisco. You need to hold that closer to your mouth there.
Sorry about that. You hear me?
Yeah, there we go. There we go. It's on your back. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'm not her, but I have a hunch that she would be just amazed if you were to make that connection between the first time she told you that story and how she feels about this incident regarding you and this other guy friend. Like if you said like, wow, you know, I was thinking that must have been just horrible for you, because when I think about it in context of what had happened to you before, and then this would be kind of like your worst nightmare, and I'm so sorry that, you know, that this happened, and, I would never have wanted anything like this to happen or to cause you these kind of feelings, and I'm wondering, is there anything I can do, to help you feel safer? And basically, you know, what I'm suggesting is here, definitely be the warrior, you know, that wants to rescue the damsel in distress. On some level, men would like to do that. Women would love for you to do it. But we're looking for you to do it in a way that actually helps us. So if you're the warrior and you just come to the defense of your own masculinity, that's pretty self-serving. But if you are the warrior and you come ask us how, if you ask us how you can help us, you see that, boy, for the modern woman, that can really sweep her off her feet.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that? Is that
too
for you?
No, it's. I think it's something that can work. I mean, I think it'll be a really good way to bridge the emotional gap again. And I feel like kind of going back into the same situation will seem like beating a dead horse in a way. 'Cause I kind of felt like we did kind of felt at ease with that situation, but I think it's, what do I proactively do now to kind of really solidify that? I think I want to show her that I really still like her, but it seems like that if I come too aggressive, that's just gonna make her fear more. That this whole time I was really just continuing that scam all the way through. I mean, it's just gonna put her on the defensive, more fearful. So, I guess I want to try to listen to her more and ask her more about her feelings. I guess I want to maybe try to rekindle that feeling that we had. So maybe ask her more about her feelings, and hopefully she kind of lets go her guard a little bit, and we can kind of develop that relationship.
And here's another really good rule of thumb. If somebody is having a hard time opening up, it's helpful sometimes if we open up first, you know. So self-disclosure is a good thing. I mean, you know, it could be something as simple as, I just want to let you know, I really miss our conversations. I really enjoyed connecting with you the way we were connecting. And so anyway, I just wanted you to know that. I really miss that, and would love to feel close to you again. Not entirely sure. It seems to me you may not feel safe. Please let me know if that's true. If you're not feeling safe, I'm wondering, is there anything you think I could do to help you feel safer?
Yeah.
But again, if you just go to somebody with, hey, how are you feeling?
Yeah, it's just a little too much.
Well, most people are going to say, fine, and I'm busy, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
So a little bit of disclosure and opening up or directing the conversation into the territory that's vulnerable can go a long way to actually getting the conversation off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, whatever. I'm sure you'll figure it out yourself, or you won't. Or you won't. Who knows?
Yeah, hopefully it pans out, and I can manage to work it out. I mean,
have a good heart, Francisco. You know that, right?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think
you have a good heart. But here's the thing. I mean, I'm 49, and I don't have these same fears. I've already faced a lot of those demons and slayed my own dragons, as it were. So, but, you know, if I were young like her again and still battling public perception about good girls and bad girls, I could totally get why I was, you know, feel and react probably the same way she is.
Yeah.
And this is what
I told her that. I understood from her position that I felt bad that happened. And I think that's why it did and kind of mutually okay, and we're starting to build that again. But I think she's happy and comfortable just keeping ourselves as friends. You mean, and not having to engage in that vulnerability that being emotionally has. But I want to go back to that. You mean, so hopefully I can slowly listen to her and work towards that. You think maybe asking her out on a date and kind of confronting her like that, or it seems like we're not really dating anymore. We're just kind of haphazardly kind of seeing each other in school. So I think just asking her out would be a little too much, or I don't know. Right now I'm kind of like in limbo.
I do. I think asking her to go anywhere right now is probably too much. I would call her up and just say, hey, I miss your voice. Who doesn't want to hear that? I miss your voice. I wanted to, wanted to connect with you. And, you know, if you got a couple of seconds, that might be a showstopper right there. No, sorry, I'm busy. Call me back later.
Yeah.
you have to find the words that work well for you personally and for this relationship.
Right.
But something on the order of, I have been feeling this way, and I want to know how you're feeling.
Yeah.
So that you are creating some vulnerability in yourself, and make that first move to say you miss her or whatever, and then then give her an opportunity to share what's going on with her, and then surprise her by actually hearing her and play it back. Oh, I hear that you're sad, or I hear that you're lonely, or, you know, you can even double check and say, did I hear you right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
And then you can say, wow, you know, that must be horrible. I feel really bad for you. And, it just pains me to think that I might have even in any remotely way been associated with creating this kind of discomfort for you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to actually take responsibility for it, but, you know, like I'm remotely related to it.
Correct.
And if you think that there's something that you could have done better, come up with that up front. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm not real happy with the way I handled our last conversation. I want you to tell. Mm-hmm. I've been missing our really intimate conversations, and and I feel like I kind of messed things up. Like, I was so defensive about my own self and, you know, feeling like this is, I was being unjustly accused, that I couldn't hear how much pain you're in.
Yeah.
You see? So, I mean, does that fit for you?
I think it does. You mean, I think I'm going to do that. I mean, I think just building up communications and vulnerability hopefully will kind of lead towards that. I'm a little fearful that I open up showing that I still have these feelings for her is kind of just going to kind of put her fearful. So, I mean, I feel like I'm treading on broken glass, kind of just tiptoeing through.
Yeah.
I'm kind of unsure. I want to create vulnerability, but not too far that she kind of steps back. That's why I'm kind of like in limbo.
I totally get that. So pace yourself. Pace yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't go too, you know, don't get too mushy.
Right.
Well, look, we're out of time. We got to sign off.
Okay, I always enjoy talking to you, Renee.
Oh, Francisco, you're such a special, special man. You really are. Don't ever forget
that, okay?
Okay.
And yourself, so you're...
Huh?
No, you're a special woman, and we need more Veronica Monets in the world.
Oh, you're very sweet. You're very sweet. Good luck with this girl. She sounds like she's worth the trouble.
You have to fight for what you want for, so I'm going to give it a try.
But if not, and remember, for any relationship you're in, if this one fails, at least you get good practice for the next one, so make everything count.
That's true. It's try and try again.
All right, sweetheart. I'm sure we'll see you on the airwaves in another month or so.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.